If you have your Bibles with you this morning, could you please open to Acts chapter 11? Acts chapter 11. We will continue the series on the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul this morning. And we're up to Acts chapter 11. We'll consider just one verse this morning. If you can't hear me, just go like this. I can talk louder. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. We're going to consider just one sentence in this verse. Last time I preached from verses 19 through to 26, and I left the last sentence of verse 26, and it's this sentence we're going to consider this morning. So the last sentence of Acts 11, 26 says, "And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." The title for the message this morning is, "Why Are We Called Christians?" Let's open in prayer. Father, I thank you for this wonderful day you've given to us, Lord. I thank you for the privilege that we do have to come and worship you. Now, as we open your word, I pray that you would grant us the gift of illumination this morning, that we would have understanding of this passage and that we would have something to apply to our lives. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the famous early church historians once described a believer named Sanctus from Lyon, France, and he was tortured for Jesus. Now, as they tortured this man cruelly, they hoped to get him to say something evil or blasphemous. They asked him his name. He only replied, "I am a Christian." They asked, "What nation do you belong to?" He answered, "I am a Christian." "What city do you live in?" "I am a Christian." His questioners began to get quite angry. "Are you a slave or a free man?" "I am a Christian," was his only reply. No matter what they asked about him, he only answered, "I am a Christian." This made his torturers all the more determined to break this man, but they could not. And he died with the words on his lips, "I am a Christian." Now, this is a truly remarkable testimony. This man faced great torture, suffered much physical affliction, yet the only words that would come from his mouth were, "I am a Christian." But when these words are fully understood, oh, what powerful words and an even more powerful testimony this was before these wicked persecutors. "I am a Christian." Now, have you ever thought, why is it that we are called Christians? And how did this name come about? So it is the intention of this message this morning to explore the origin of the name Christian that you and I possess today, and the reasons behind the giving of this name. Why is it that we are still called Christians? You know, this is a universal name, a name that is used too liberally, which we will see when we consider a definition. But I think it is very beneficial that we know and understand why we are called Christians and the true glory within this name. So this morning we will consider three very simple and straightforward questions in order to explain the origin and the use of the title Christian. These three questions are: where was the name given, who gave the name, and why was the name given? So the first question: where was the name given? Our text reveals to us that this name was first used in Antioch. Now, the last time I preached, we looked in some detail at this city and the miraculous events that unfolded in this city. Now, I want to take a very brief moment to review and refresh our memories of what was occurring at this present moment. So, in the ancient world, there was believed to be some 16 cities possessing this name, Antioch. This Antioch in our text before us is by far the most important, the largest, and the most influential. This city of Antioch is located in Syria. This is some 500 kilometers north of Jerusalem, located in modern-day Turkey. And in biblical times, it was believed to have a population of around about 500,000 people. This city was considered the third greatest in the whole empire, behind Rome and Alexandria, and was particularly known for its great sophistication and culture, along with its booming economy. Now, Antioch was particularly known for its great diversity in people, in religion, and also great immorality. This city was greatly influenced by the Greek culture of this time and was known for its great diversity, particularly in religion. They were a very open people when it came to religion. All the Greek, Roman, and Syrian deities were honored in this place, including Apollo and Zeus. Now, this city was known particularly for the Temple of Daphne, which was a place dedicated to worshipping false gods, known predominantly for its cultic prostitution. So why is it that this name was given in Antioch and not in Jerusalem, as we might expect? But Jesus Christ ministered powerfully to huge multitudes in Jerusalem. It was in Jerusalem where the Holy Spirit first descended at Pentecost. The church started first in Jerusalem with great power. Thousands were added to the church in a very short period of time. The apostles performed mind-boggling signs and wonders in Jerusalem, all in the name of Jesus Christ. So with all this, you would have expected that the disciples would be called Christians first in the city of Jerusalem. But surprisingly, as we've already seen, this happened in the non-Jewish city of Antioch, a place where Jesus Christ never even visited. So why were the believers not called Christians first in Jerusalem, but rather Antioch? I believe this is because in Jerusalem they were ignorant to the true mystery of the church. Now, they were not including Gentiles within the church in Jerusalem, which is what the church was meant to do. In Jerusalem, they still had this prejudice against the Gentiles, and the church was to do away with this. It was to abolish this wall of partition. All were to be one within the church. Now, it is in this city of Antioch that the birth of the Gentile church occurs, that the church, as we know it today, finds its beginnings. It is here that the gospel is shared to the Gentiles and many were saved. It is here that Christ's intention for the church is realized. It is put into practice, where Jews and Gentiles become one in the body of Christ. The middle wall of partition is broken down. Now, the great hatred and racism the Jews showed towards the Gentiles was slowly being abolished. It is in Antioch that we see the unity of Ephesians 4 into practice: one body, one spirit, one faith, one Lord. Now, this is why I feel this was the location for the giving of the name Christian, a name that has stuck right up until this time. It occurred in this city, for this is where the church began to function as it was intended, and it has set the pattern for the church age to follow, all believers one in Christ. So we need to remember the name Christian didn't come directly from Jesus Christ. It was not given at Pentecost. It was not given in Jerusalem. It's not an Old Testament name. But this title, Christian, is not given until the first Gentile church is established in pagan Antioch. Antioch is probably not the place we would necessarily assume would be the location for the giving of this name, but this is where the title that we go by today was first used. Antioch, this wicked place, was the location for where this name was first bestowed. This answers our first question. The second question is, who gave the name? So we have determined that the title Christian was first used in Antioch. But who was it that came up with this name to call these believers? Now, there is much differing opinion among the scholars, so I'm going to present the different views and then share my personal opinion. You can see the four options on your outline sheet. So some feel this title was given by the Jews. Now, particularly the Jews in Antioch, in order to distinguish from this new group that had included the Gentiles. They wanted to make sure that there was a clear distinction between themselves and this new group who were including these Gentiles who they regarded as dogs. Now, I don't think this is the case, because the word Christ in Christian means Messiah. And the Judaizers would have never used this word for Jesus, for they didn't think he was the Messiah. And even if they did believe Jesus was the Messiah, I don't think they would have bestowed such a prestigious name upon those who they regarded as apostates for including the Gentiles. The Jews designated the Christians as Nazarenes, as a term of contempt, because it was a proverb that nothing good would come out of Nazareth. So I don't believe that the Jews gave this name. Now, another view is that this name was self-appointed, meaning that the believers in Antioch decided that they would call themselves Christians. You know, although this is possible, it's unlikely, because they already had sufficient names. You know, they were already regarded as disciples, believers, saints, witnesses, the followers of the way. You know, these names are all used in the Bible. Why would you give yourself another name? You know, how many names does one need? Now, another reason why this is improbable is because of the verb were called. This suggests that it was given to them by others, both in its definition and in its parsing. So this view is highly unlikely. I don't believe it was self-appointed. Now, there are not many, but a couple commentators believe that this was a divinely acquired name. That meaning that God himself gave this name to this group of believers, and that God intended this to be the name for the people throughout the age. Now, although this sounds rather romantic and nice, I don't think it's probable. The argument from one commentator is that according to one Greek scholar, the verb call is a divine call. But this is only the opinion of one man. All the other scholars, lexicons, and dictionaries that I read do not think that this verb was a divine call in this context. You know, this verb can be used in a divine sense, but is the opinion of the vast majority that this verb is used in the secular sense, and I'll explain this in more detail shortly. So if that doesn't make sense, bear with me. So it is of my opinion that if this name was divinely appointed, then why is it not found more often in the New Testament? If this name was given by God, why does it only occur three times in the New Testament? Once here, once later on in Acts when Paul is before Agrippa, and this is a term of contempt, and also once in 1 Peter, talking about persecution. If this was a divinely inspired name, I think it would be used a bit more. So I personally do not think that this title was divinely bestowed. Now, the last option, and in my opinion the likely source of the origin of this term, is that the residents in Antioch bestowed this name upon the believers. The wicked residents of this pagan city gave this particular title. Now, the motive for this can be one of two things. Number one, it was a term of ridicule and scorn. Now, Antioch was famous for its readiness to jeer and call names. Perhaps a lot like Australia. So some say this name was given out of mockery and it stuck for all these years. No, this is possible. But my only hesitation is that within this title, there is nothing dishonourable or nasty. You know, normally when you give a name of mockery to someone, if you're intending to pick on them, you give them a nasty name, not a nice name. Whereas this name here, this is a flattering name, a name that one would desire. So it's possible that this was a term of mockery. Many commentators hold to this view, and I'm comfortable with that opinion if that's how you feel. But the second option is this was a term used to distinguish. There was much religion in Antioch, so a new title was perhaps given to distinguish this new group. Perhaps this title was given to make it more than clear that this group was separate from Judaism, that they were completely different. So when the people assessed this new group, it was appropriate to call them Christians. The locals could see that this group was different from others, and it was rapidly growing, so it is worthy of a title to distinguish itself from other religions. So this title was given as an acknowledgement or a compliment by the local residents. So it is my opinion that this title Christian was given by the residents of Antioch to this new group. This could either be a term of mockery and scorn, or it could be a term of genuine acknowledgement, which is my opinion. So this answers the second question. The name come from the locals in Antioch. The third question, and the crux of the message, why was the name given? Why was this name given? So up until this particular time, many names or titles had been used. So far in the book of Acts, we've seen the name disciples, believers, saints, witnesses, brothers, followers of the way. But it wasn't until this time that the title Christian was given. And this has been the name that has stuck. This is what we are still referred to even today. So the name Christian seemed to supersede all the other names and titles. But why was this name given when there was already so many names ascribed to this group? Now, I think we would do well by first considering a definition of the word Christian. And I've got all this listed down on the outline sheet. So Christian is the Greek word Christianos. And this means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to be a Christ one. Now, if we look at the English word Christian, it has two parts. It has Christ, which means Messiah or anointed one, and it has the suffix or the ending, I-A-N. Now, this is a Latin suffix, and it means to belong to a party. So Christian means to belong to the party of Jesus Christ, to be a Christ one. So why was it that this particular word was chosen? Now, well, the word Christian follows various patterns of this particular time. Now, the first being that of Herodians in Matthew 22:16, which says, "And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians." So the Herodians, they were the followers, or they belonged to the party of Herod. In this case, they may have belonged to the political party of Herod. But we can see the similarities. It has the same suffix attached to it as used in Christian. Now, the reason why people were called this is because they were followers of Herod. They belonged to the Herod party. And this is the idea behind Christian. These believers received this title because of their obvious devotion to Jesus Christ. It was evident to those in the community that they belonged to Jesus. Now, a similar practice also occurred with soldiers who would quite often take the name of their general in order to be identified with him, that they fought under him. Now, this was done by adding the same suffix to the general's name as is used in Christian. So a soldier under Caesar would call himself a Caesarean. So this is identifying the master of the soldier, and it also reveals where the soldier's loyalty and devotion would lie. And this analogy is strong with these believers. They were soldiers under Jesus Christ. He was their general, and it was to him where their devotion and loyalty would lie. Hence, they were called Christians. The people could see that this group of disciples were soldiers under the Jesus banner. Now, another example from history is that the disciples who would sit under a certain teacher would take to themselves the name of their teacher. And it's evident this happened with the Christians who had Christ as their master. So there's two examples on your sheet. Those who sat under Plato were called Platonists, and those who sat under Pythagoras were called Pythagoreans. So now, as these had their names from their masters because they attended their teaching and endorsed their doctrine, so the disciples were called Christians because Christ was their teacher. They sat under his teaching, they endorsed his doctrine, and followed the rule of life laid down by him. So I think we can see clearly from these three examples from history of this time as to why this name was given to this group. They belonged to Jesus. They were followers of Jesus Christ. Now I think it's also vital in determining as to why this name was given that we must understand the verb that's used here, were called. Now this verb is rather interesting. You know, it has numerous uses, and the particular predominant function of this verb actually changed as history went on. Now the Greek word used could be a divine call, an oracle from God, and it's used in this sense in Matthew 2:12, which says, "And being warned of God in a dream," in Matthew 2:22, which also says, "being warned of God," and Luke 2:26, which says, "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit." So this is one sense that this word could be used, but this is not the sense in our texts. You know, I think this is evident because the examples that I have just stated always have the name God with the verb. Being warned of God, revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit. And within our text, the verb doesn't have the name of God. So I don't think this is a divine call. So in our text, and also in Romans 7:3, which says, "So then if, while the husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress." So this verb means to be called or named, to be given a particular title. And this was often used in assuming a name from one's business or occupation. It was a very common practice to name a man according to his occupation. As in English, you'd have John the Smith, the blacksmith, or Philip the butler. And this practice, this reveals the origin of many familiar family names. And in the New Testament, we see many examples of this. We have Alexander the blacksmith in 2 Timothy, Matthew the publican in Matthew, Luke the physician in Colossians, and Rahab the harlot in Hebrews 11. So this is the idea of this verb called, and it's very helpful in determining as to why they were given this name. It was this name, Christian, that described their business. It described their way of life. They were Christ followers. They were dedicated and consecrated to Jesus Christ. Such was their testimony and way of life. The locals thought this was a rather fitting name. You know, this new movement had an extremely strong testimony. They spoke often of Jesus and what he had done for them. They shared the gospel message and they followed his way in the way that they lived. The residents of the city of Antioch gave this name due to the lifestyle of these people. They noticed how these disciples lived differently and their great attachment to the person of Jesus. It was their testimony that led to this name being bestowed. And this proves to us that if we are living as we ought to live, it will be plain for the world to see. The world will be able to spot that we are different. You know, these disciples were living the life that Jesus demanded and expected. They were different in this wicked environment, and this difference got them the name Christian. Now, the testimony of these disciples reminds us that we as Christians should be different. Those who see our day-to-day lives should be able to tell from our conduct, our attitude, our motives, that we belong to Jesus, that we are different. And this is because we are no longer in the slave market of sin. We have been bought out. We belong to Jesus. We should be different. You know, our lives should give evidence that we are Christians. You know, I wonder, if you and I were arrested, would there be enough evidence in our lives to prove us guilty of being a Christian? Now, such was the effect these disciples were having on this community. Such was their testimony. Such was the difference to those around them. Such was their commitment to Jesus Christ. They were called Christians. They were Christ ones. It was evident from their lives they belonged to Jesus. You know, I wonder, what would people call you and me if the name was based upon how we lived and what we are devoted to? You know, I fear that there would be many sportarians, those devoted to sports. There would be many workarians, those devoted to work. Many pleasurearians, those devoted to pleasure and entertainment. And lazyarians, those devoted to nothing. And probably not many Christians, those devoted to Christ. Now, what would we be called if we were given a title that described our lives? You know, I trust it would be Christian, one who is devoted to Jesus. You know, this name Christian is a great name to bestow upon these disciples. It reveals Jesus Christ as their Messiah and the fact they belong to Him. This title reveals their allegiance to Jesus, as it should with you and I. This honored name was one that caught on, and some 2,000 years later, we still are called Christian. This is a glorious name, one that we should cherish. We take the name of our Redeemer. It conveys the relationship we have with Him and that we have received Him as our leader and Savior. The name Christian is certainly a grand title, and I hope it's one that we wear proudly. Now, why are we called Christians? It's because a group of believers lived such a life that they had this glorious name bestowed upon them. It was evident from their lives they belonged to Jesus. They were truly Christians. And as Christians today, it shouldn't just be a title for you and I, but it should describe the way we live. You know, a good way to view the term Christian is not as a noun, which it is, but view it as an adjective. It should describe the way that we live. The way we live should reveal that we belong to Jesus, that we are in the Jesus army, that we are fighting for Jesus. Being a Christian is not a mere title. It is a way of life. The name Christian superseded just about every other name. It is a name we still have today, but are we living out the title that has been bestowed upon us? Is it so obvious that all can see we belong to Jesus? For this is what it means to be a Christian. You know, I want to finish this morning with 3 points of application. So number one, are we a true Christian? Are we a true Christian? The word Christian today is used rather loosely. You know, we are classed as a Christian country. That's certainly not the case. You know, some feel because they go to church they are a Christian. That's not necessarily the case. Some feel because their parents are religious they are a Christian. But that is not necessarily the case. You know, there are many who think they are a Christian, but really they are not. You know, perhaps you are in this boat this morning. In order to be a Christian, one must turn from their sin, trust Jesus Christ, and receive salvation by grace. This is the only way to become a Christian. In order to be a Christian, we must belong to God. We must be one of His, and this comes via salvation. You know, are you truly a Christian? Has there been a time in your life when you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Secondly, are we living up to the name? Are we living up to the name? The name Christian means that we identify completely with Jesus Christ because we are his disciple. You know, but for many Christians, this identification seems to apply only on Sundays. And on Sundays, we wear the name tag Christian. And during the week, many Christians seem to put this name tag aside that they display on Sundays. I know I'm guilty of this. You know, we come to church, we're happy to wear the name tag. We're happy to sing praises to God, read scripture, pray, listen to the sermon. But as soon as we leave church, we get rid of the name tag and do our own thing. You know, being a Christian is not just a name tag we wear on Sunday. You know, we are to live for the Lord each and every day. We are to be devoted to the Lord, consecrated and committed. You know, these believers were given this name because of the life they lived. It was so evident from their daily lives they belonged to Jesus and hence were given this title. If one was to examine your life, if one was to examine my life, what title would be given? Would it be Christian? Being a Christian is more than a mere title. It is a way of life. Do we live day by day as though we belong to Jesus? And thirdly and lastly, it's a glorious name. Let's not be ashamed. It's a glorious name. Let's not be ashamed. As Christians, we truly have an amazing name. We belong to Jesus. We are Jesus' people. He is our Master. He is our Savior. In our name, we have His name, the most glorious name on earth. Oh, what a glorious title we have to be the Christ ones. We are the followers of the Savior of the world. He loves us, and we can have a relationship with Him. What an honor to be entitled Christian, the Christ ones. What a glorious name tag, and I trust this is a name tag we wear daily, openly and proudly. That we are not ashamed to tell the world that we are Christians, that we belong to Jesus, and He belongs to us. You know, we are called Christian because we belong to Jesus. Don't be ashamed. Let the world know of this glorious name that we possess and what it means. Praise God, we are Christians. Praise God, we are the followers of Jesus Christ. Praise God, we belong to Him. Brother and sister, it is wonderful to be a Christian. It is wonderful to be God's child. It's wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled. It is wonderful to be a Christian. Amen. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank You that we are Christians. Lord, I thank You that we do belong to You, Father. I thank You for the relationship we can have, Father. And I trust that the name Christian is not just a tag we wear on Sunday, but it is a way of life. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.